Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Hello, once again, this is Michael Adams, and it's nothing but the truth. One man's journey to find it, and I found it in my Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And this afternoon, we're going to have a Bible study once again with Larry Phillips and with a new friend of ours. Is it all right if we mention your name?
Yeah, it's okay. It's just the name God gave me.
Okay, cool. Gilbert, and I'm going to hand it over to our brother in Christ, Larry Phillips.
Amen.
Yes, and it was really a joy to meet Gilbert last night and to have him share a little bit about his life and how God has been working in his life. And today I'd like to just, if we could, just go to Romans 8, beginning with verse 27. And I think this is going to be a encouragement to all of us. But he says in verse 27, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And basically what he's saying here is, for all of God's people, you know, God has prayed for them. He's prayed for us. And there's no one I'd rather have pray for me than God himself, okay? And he says, we know, verse 28, that all things, not some things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, it's not saying that the ones that made a decision for Christ or filled out a decision card or let Jesus into their heart. No, what he's saying here, all things work together for good to them that love God, to who are the called. Jesus Christ is the one who does the calling. And then he says in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow." And we can just put our names in there. For Larry, he did foreknow. For Gilbert, he did foreknow. Did Michael, he did foreknow. He also did predestinate. You know, Michael or Gilbert brought up that word last night, destination, you know. What does predestination mean? Predestination means to predetermine what happens before it happens. And what does it mean to foreknow? It means he knew you before you were even created. He knew you. And because he knew you before you were created, he also predetermined beforehand what was going to happen to you. What was going to happen to you? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ was the firstborn among all of his brethren, in other words, all of his people. Then he goes on and explains this in verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate," again, whom he did predetermine what happened before it happened, "he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified." Now, the fact that he predetermined what happened before it even happened, the fact that he called us, and then also the justified, meaning that we were born in sin, and we needed some kind of advocate, we needed some kind of savior to take care of all this sin, like we talked about last night. And Jesus is the one who justified us through his blood on the cross. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And it tells us in other places that when we die, we're going to receive glorified bodies. We're not going to take this old corruptible body to heaven. And so then he says in verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. There's no way we can justify ourselves. I mean, we all deserve damnation and hell, but you know what? Because of what Christ did, and there's a lot of people that will condemn us, you know, especially if we've lived lives and we've been in grievous sins and all of that. There's a lot of people that will point their finger at us, but you know what? It says here, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God, Jesus Christ, is still praying for his people today. That gives me great comfort, because I realize that if anybody needs prayer, it's this old boy, Larry Phillips, because I'm in myself dwelleth no good thing. I'm a wretch, but in Christ, I'm covered by his blood. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, this is wonderful. You know, these last passages in this 8th chapter of Romans, the 35th through the 39th verse, I would say, you know, take a highlighter and circle these, because this is the heart of when we get discouraged, when we get downtrodden, when we are ready to throw in the towel. This gives us the hope to go on. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. And only he could do that.
Amen.
Nobody can curse you, or even though they try or hate you. I've been hated before too, and you know, just okay, see you later, bye, you know, and that's your deal, you know, that's not a problem. And some of them have died, some of them are maimed or something, and I'm still, you know, like, keep on strolling. But
you know, you know what, Gilbert, the other thing you said is so true. Nobody can teach us but God. You know,
right.
we can, that's why it's so important that, you know, that we stay in his word, because his word is alive. I mean, when I start reading the Bible, it jumps out at me. I mean, his word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. And there's a scripture that says, we, speaking of God's people, we shall all be taught of God. And so, you know, we need to seek his face in his word, and he will reveal more and more and more of himself to us. And so I encourage anyone that might hear this call, if you have a desire, if God has placed a desire in your heart to understand and know God, realize that that is an absolutely miraculous thing that's happening in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. And God has given us his word, the Bible, to further reveal himself to us about his nature and about himself. And so you can't really, and I think Michael, you can maybe address this a little bit as to what happened in your life, but the more we're in the Word of God, the more he reveals himself to us, and it's a perpetuating thing, Michael. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Well, when we're in the Word of God, it helps us to stay focused on him, first of all. And also, I think when you think about the Spirit, it talks, this is something that I've been heavily focusing on the past couple of weeks. It's 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And when you finally realize that you are one of God's chosen, one of God's elect, you finally realize there's purpose in your life, truly, and everything that you've gone through, all the terrible things that you did or witnessed to, or the things that that are in our flesh that we are ashamed of, even disease and hardship and all the suffering that we go through is all to lead us to Christ, and that the Spirit, God's Spirit itself, the Holy Ghost, will reveal to us that we really are as undeserving as all of us. It's amazing. The more and more I meet other brothers in Christ, the more all of us have sordid backgrounds and backgrounds that we're not very happy about and ashamed as far as our own conduct goes, but realizing how undeserving and yet how miraculous it is that God loves us. And, you know, this is not an intellectual endeavor. This is one of those things where I cannot prove to another man what I'm saying is true. Only the Spirit of God can prove this.
That's right.
And there's a change, a transformation within oneself where that stone, that heart of stone turns into a heart of flesh, and you yearn more and more for the Word of God. You yearn more and more for your prayer life. You need more and more for the things of God, more than the things of this world. And, it is, and there's a different, when we talk about the good news, talk about the gospel, talk about our Lord, there is a transformation. There is I suffer from MS, and Gilbert, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic and a womanizer and I was a musician and an artist, and so I was all about myself. I didn't have your heart of a background. God spared me the gang stuff, but, you know, it's just outside of that, we're all sinners, and we all have a past that we're not very proud of. And something has happened, and God has, even His Spirit has given me additional strength to get through another day. And it's amazing when I focus on the Word of God and I focus on my prayer. It's easier for me to raise my son by myself. That's some of the things I've been going through. Gilbert has been a single father since he was born. And I've raised him 2/3 of his life by myself, which has not been an easy thing to do, to say the least. And you know something about that as well, with your involvement with your own children and grandchildren and the loss of your wife and all that kind of stuff. I hope you didn't mind me saying that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen to us that seem so unfair at the time, but looking back now, in God's mercy, merciful graciousness, and that He allowed these things to happen to remove us from the things of this world and for our idols, like whether it's women or money or material things, etc. Even for our family members become our idols, and so that we can grow more in the knowledge and truth of Him. And what a glorious and hopeful and amazing future we all have, God's children, His elect. So all my hope is in Christ. It's not in what I know. The more I learn, the old saying goes, the more that I learn, the more I learn that I don't know much of anything at all, and that all my hope is to put it in Christ. And by the way, that's not a uniquely Mike Adams situation. That's every man's situation, whether they come to Christ or not. It is a realization that every man will have to face before his death is how little he actually knows.
Amen.
So I'll shut up. I'll let somebody else.
I think that what you've said is so true for all of us who have come to understand how Christ has died for his people, how he shed his blood for his people, how he's raised from the dead, how he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. And also the reality that we're not talking about just what happens in this lifetime. We're talking about what is going to happen for eternity. And all of our relationships here between God's people, between Gilbert and Michael and Larry and all the other people that we know that are children of God, we're going to be eternal friends, not just friends here on the earth. And so when we start talking about eternality, we start talking about everlasting life, you know, there's, like Michael said, we all have been through a lot in this lifetime. When we look at things that have happened in our lives, we are just amazed at how some of us are even still breathing, you know. But
yeah,
the
reality really?
But the reality of it is, in eternity, all the stuff that happened in this life is not going to mean anything. The only thing that's going to matter in eternity is that we have eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that really is where our focus needs to be, you know, when we realize that he says that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, and that we're persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That should give us, that's better than any drugs or alcohol or women or anything else. Being infused with Christ and having his righteousness, we're not righteous in ourselves. You know, I remember the first time I heard a message on the substitution of Jesus Christ and how that Christ went to the cross for me. He took on all of my sins. And it was liberating to realize that I could be forgiven, that he would actually do that. I mean, why? I don't understand why he would do it other than his love. And why would he love someone such as me that is so despicable? I don't understand that. But, you know, he has given me the faith to believe it. It didn't come from myself. I didn't drum up this faith for myself. You know, it says, go ahead.
We all have a piece of him. You know, and we're all his soul.
Amen.
It's for us to acknowledge that part, because everybody's got that. But if we abandon him, he doesn't abandon us.
That's right. And, you know, the thing of it is, this love is a particular love in that, like we read last night, you know, that there's so many out there that paint a false Jesus. In other words, Jesus said there were some Pharisees, religious leaders at the time, were trying to put Jesus down and were blaspheming him and saying and questioning his authority of being the Son of God and so on. And he said, the reason you don't believe on me is because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, the reason you don't believe on me is you're not of my sheep. You are your father, the devil, and the works of the devil you will do. In other words, there are two kinds of people on this earth. There are those who are vessels of honor, and there are those who are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And once we understand that, you know, there's people that say, well, Jesus Christ made it possible for all men to be saved. No. Jesus Christ made it absolutely certain that all for whom he came for would be saved. He said, I come to save my people from their sins. okay? And he did it. Remember what he said on the cross? He said, it is finished. It is finished. So it doesn't have anything to do with man, acceptance or rejection or repentance or belief or faith, because all of that comes from God. Okay, all of it comes from God. And so we can't take any credit for anything. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, faith is a gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. And all of those who, you know, reject Christ, all of those who blaspheme his holy name, in the Psalm 2 it says that, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, the answer to that why is found in the ninth chapter of Romans. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same vessel, one lump to honor and one to dishonor? So I think as long as we understand that there's no such thing as free will, there's no such thing as man being able to pick himself up by his bootstraps and determine his own destiny. Okay, God is the one that predestinates. God is the one that calls, and God is the one that has died. Go ahead, Brother Gilbert or Brother Mike, if you have any comments.
Well, all I got to say is I've been following him for a long time, even when I was a kid. I had some weird stuff happen, and you know, and always I had this voice talking to me, even though, like, when you're a kid that no one believes in you or whatever or hears you out. And this little, you know, mind thoughts always come to my mind. And one time I was like 13 years old, and I was never on drugs or nothing at that time, and it was Halloween. And my dad told me, well, go ahead. You know, it was my brother and sister wanted to go around the block to, you know, to go trick-or-treating. And my dad was pretty strict with me because he says, you're the oldest, and you're going to listen to me. I said, yes, sir. And then, so you're just going to go around this block, and that's it. Well, then I had a friend that came with his little brother also. And we was going down the road, and then my little brother and sister calling me names, even the P word and whatever. So, you know, and I kind of like faltered on that, and I kind of went a little further than I was supposed to go. But my friend was talking to me. He had a little brother, and we was going down the road. And I got this little vision, a little cartoon vision type, and it's got like three little dots running across some alley, and some car ran hit those three dots. So I said, oh Lord, please don't let that happen. I mean, take care of us. I don't know what's going on, and I'll be in trouble with my dad for sure. So he was talking, my friend was talking to me and all that, and I, like, ignored him because I was looking at this picture in my mind. I said, wow, what does this mean? So I finally kind of looked like when I saw that pattern that we were walking, and all of a sudden my brother and sister and his little brother took off running like it said in the future picture, that picture that I saw. So I grabbed my brother and sister, and I tried to grab the other one, and apparently the car just came out of the alley and just ran him over. And I
oh, my.
I said, man, that is heavy. And then when, you know, the police came, and how did you know that was going to, how did you stop them? How did you, I said, I can't tell you how I did that. I don't know. It wasn't me.
Right.
Paying attention. You know, so stuff like that I've been seeing. And, well, you know, it all, I guess it all begins on, you know, how you're taught. If you can't listen to your father and mother, how much more you're not going to listen to God then? So that's how I figured this out. Like, well, I better listen to my father and mother, and I better listen to whatever my conscience says, because if I don't do that, something's going to go wrong in life. And which it did, you know, sometimes, you know, you falter. But you pick up your pieces and say, hey, next time for sure I'm going to listen better.
Well, you know, the scripture is so full of the providence of God, the providential hand of God on his people. In the Old Testament, you know, Joseph had a dream, And he told all of his brothers that they were going to bow down to him, and they got all upset with him, and they even decided they were going to kill him, but then they decided to go ahead and sell him into slavery. And we know the story how Joseph became the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And,
right.
And after all this happened, of course, because of those events, Joseph was able to provide food for all of his family during the famine, you know, because he was in charge. And you look at how much God loves his people. And now there's a good example of your story, how God preserved you and your siblings because he chose to. I mean, he wouldn't have had to. He could have not have given you these warnings, and you could have just kept right on going, and all of you could have been, you know, run over. So, and we see that not only is God sovereign, meaning, in, you know, he's an all-powerful God, he's not only sovereign in providence, but he's also sovereign over all of his creation. I mean, when we look at hurricanes and tsunamis and even the way the world is created, you know, we can't. I heard a guy one time, and, you know, he's a very well-known preacher, and he preaches a lot of things that are not true. His name is T.D. Jakes. He's a black minister. And he said, my God would never cause a tsunami. Now, think about that. God is the one that created the earth, and you think that God could not cause? We see in the New Testament where the disciples are down in the boat and Jesus Christ is asleep, and the winds and the waves and the seas were in turbulence, and the disciples went down and said, you know, woke him up and said, Lord, help us, we're going to perish. And Jesus Christ stands up and says, peace be still. And they said, what is this man that he could even the winds and the seas obey him? I mean, but we serve an all-powerful God, and I think it's good to remind ourselves of that. And, Gilbert, I just am glad that God has protected you and given you his spirit, you know, to discern these things. And I encourage you just to continue to, you know, I could tell you stories about myself and how God has preserved me in my life. And that
we're all the same. No one's different, you know.
Yeah.
It's just we just got a different road to walk. That's all. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
You've got one Jesus to follow or to
that's
listen
right.
to.
That's
no
right.
one's different. No one's more you know, privileged than another person, because God gave us all that right. It's just us to keep it and make sure we keep it in our hearts all the time and not falter from it, because the day you do, old brother Satan, he's going to be right there waiting for us.
He is, but, you know, like we said in this passage, not and principalities are referring, of course, to Satan and his emissaries.
Right.
But again, the thing that is differentiates God's elect, his people, from everyone else is God's restraining grace and his mercy and his love for them. And, you know, there are people that in the world, in that book in Romans, it talks about Pharaoh. And it says, for this very purpose have I raised thee up, speaking of Pharaoh, that my name might be declared throughout the whole earth. I think that there's a number of Pharaohs today that God is raising up. They're wicked. They're very demonic. But you know what? God's the one that created Lucifer. God's the one that placed the serpent in the garden. God ordains evil as well as good. You know, God could keep any evil from happening if he chose to do so, but he uses evil to exalt himself. You know? He uses evil to exalt himself. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, they say, well, yeah, God's sovereign over good, but he's not sovereign over evil. Yes, he is. Remember what happened. Remember what happened. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's the master of all legions.
Amen. Remember what happened with Job. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he would only allow Satan to go so far. He would not allow him to kill Job. He let him touch. He let him take all of his family, and he let him touch his body, and so on. But in the last chapters there, Job says, you know, he repented. He says, "I put my hand over my mouth." He said, "I know my Redeemer, you know, will stand." And so, you know, I guess if anything I could say today that would be an encouragement to all those that are listening, and that is that just like Gilbert and Larry and Michael, God has his people, and he will always love them with an everlasting love. He loved us. It says in Ephesians 1, he chose us in him from before the foundation of the world. And also it says in that chapter that he works all things after the counsel of his own will, not after the counsel of man's will, but after the counsel of his own will. So, Michael, I'm going to turn it back over to you. That's really, you know, all I have today. But I would encourage Gilbert, you know, just continue like you're doing to stay in the Word of God, because it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway.
Yeah,
I will.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you. Well, yeah, I think I'm going to read some out of John 17. I wouldn't mind reading the whole thing. Sorry, you gentlemen. I think I'll start out prior to John 17 and 60. Okay. Where do I go from here? Okay. His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest not proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh." Isn't that interesting? "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out
from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. It's interesting. Christ is not praying for the world here. He's praying for only those that God has given him. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the Son for tradition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's praying for us. Isn't that cool? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen.
And amen, yes. And, you know, it's awesome. You think about it. Christ was even praying for us. And, you know, the thing is, true, to be one. You know, you hear a lot of things about this ecumenical movement, and you hear the Pope and all these other folks try to create a one-world religion where everybody believes in the same God, but this is not true.
No.
There are many people believe in God, but they don't believe in the God of the Bible. And we are, for some reason, we can't take any credit for it at all, but for some reason God chose Gilbert, and myself, and Larry, and those listening to be his elect, his children, and that we are to become, as it says here, that we may be perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me. I know that, and 22, it says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And that this awesome promise that we can all be one in Christ,
And one of the things I'm observing in this walk in our life, this life here, this mortal life, is that brothers, true brothers in Christ, that God has chosen, He's asked us to be one. And it will make us one. And this is what is happening right now. I don't know if you gentlemen agree or disagree, but the fact that we're together, either listening or talking and sharing today, is because we are one in Christ. And it doesn't matter what color skin you are. It doesn't matter what background you are. It doesn't matter what your past is. We are all brothers in Christ at this moment.
Amen.
And that is what our future holds for all of us. And with the great joy of knowing that we can not only be together, but that we will be with our God. And for once in our life, it is amazing, isn't it? Did you want to share something as well, Gilbert?
I'm good. I'm listening.
Okay, cool, man. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Larry?
That chapter that you just read, that 17th chapter of John, how it really, the first time I read through that chapter, it just really had a profound impact on me, because I was raised totally different than what this chapter conveys Christ as being. You know, I was raised that Jesus Christ made it possible for all men to be saved, and all they had to do is let Him into their heart and all this other stuff. And here Christ says that God had given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. That's total different than the way I was raised. And I mean, I remember when I read that, I thought, wow, I've been lied to my whole life. But the reality of it is, you know, it was the first time that God revealed Himself to me through His Word. And the fact that God had given Christ power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as God had given Him, that shows that right there, that all of this decision is resting in God. And then as I began to continue to read down there, like you said a while ago, Michael, when I read that He prayed not for the world, I mean, that was also a lie that I'd been given, that Jesus Christ died for the whole world and so on. And then in verse 10, where He says, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, I'm thinking, wow. I mean, and then I think I shared with Michael before, I read it last night, John 6:37, where it says, all that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. The question that immediately came into my mind was, am I one of those that the Father gave to Christ? Am I one of those that the Father gave to Christ? And, you know, the next part of it says that, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. I knew that I'd come to Christ because He had drawn me to Him. And so there was a great comfort to know that He would not cast me out, you know, that He would not cast me out. And so anyway, I love this chapter. He, in the 25th verse, it further reinforced that I had been lied to on what I'd been taught. When He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee. You know, there's a lot of people, I call it Beatles theology, you know, all's we need is love, all's we need is love, love is all we need. Well, it's not the love of Christ. It's not the love of Christ. He says the love of Christ is that in verse 24, Father, I will they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I never really heard the Beatles talking about the effectual blood of Jesus Christ. I heard one of the Beatles talk about Hare Krishna. You know, I've never heard these people talk about the fact that they were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. And so this really rocked my boat, as Brother Walt would say. It rocked my boat when I read the 17th chapter of John, because I realized that, you know what, I've been taught a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. And you know what, God, the Holy Spirit drew me to the Word of God, and I started studying, and I started seeing that it, when Jesus Christ talked about who he was, it was totally different than the way it was portrayed in 99 9/10% of the seminaries and the churches. It wasn't some kind of a poor little Jesus is waiting just for you to come to him. No, Jesus isn't poor, and Jesus isn't little, and he isn't waiting for anything. Jesus is a sovereign God of the universe, and he's created all things, and he has died for whom he chose to die for. And so I don't mean to come across as too, but I'm just saying that it was quite a remarkable difference. Go ahead, Brother Michael or Brother Gilbert.
Well, I figure that we're blessed because look at the attention that he pays to each grain of sand that's in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty deep. That's heavy. I mean, that's totally great, man, because we don't do that, you know.
That's right. That's right.
We got a tendency to slip now and then, here and there. But
all the time.
and he's there. He's there all the way. I mean, it's not like he's not watching.
That's exactly right. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows every thought. There's not one thought that we have that he doesn't know. And, you know, he also, the thing for his people is that he's all loving. And so he says, as it relates to our sins, that he's cast them as far away as the east is from the west. And he's put them in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, when God looks at his son, Jesus Christ, he also sees his elect through his son, and he says they're forgiven. In other words, he doesn't, you know, a lot of courts will have been accused of passing out double jeopardy sentences on criminals. And they'll try to get them, you know, for the same crime twice. But you know what? Jesus Christ has paid for our sins, and he's not going to judge us according to our sins. He's going to judge us according to the righteousness of Christ. In other words, he's going to look at Christ's blood and say they're forgiven, you know.
Who?
Brother Michael.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Well, before we end the recording here, is there anything else that you would like to share with the folks, Gilbert, as far as what you'd like to?
Well, I would say, you know, there's a little prayer I always use, and the prayer is not a prayer. It's just a saying that I surrender all to the light of Jesus into the creation of my Creator every day. And that's Jesus a light and everything to the creator of my, you know, the creation of my creator, which is his father, you know, and just keep on going forward and, you know, live your life because it's already preordained. All you got to do is have courage to follow your road and don't worry. God's right there with you.
Amen.
Okay. Well, nice. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to end the recording now. I hope that folks in the future will be edified from this conversation and hearing the Word of God. And for those who are interested, you're more than welcome to. We could stay on for a couple of minutes. If you want to call in and talk with us, you certainly can. So thank you, gentlemen.